Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com. Today's podcast is called Best Global Brands, Do's and Don'ts. Now that everyone has had a chance to digest Business Week Interbrand's Best Global Brands report, I thought I'd offer some suggestions for how to use the results. There's a risk that if someone doesn't know what brand valuation really means or what it's useful for, the conclusions and implications drawn from the report could be off. And while I'm in no way an expert on brand valuation, I have spent quite a few years using the results of the Business Week Interbrand study, as well as similar rankings from Brand Finance, Millward Brown's Optimore, and others. So this is what I've learned. First, use brand valuation as a way of proving that brands create shareholder value. When a finance-oriented executive questions the need to invest in brand building, relaying the reports from well-respected organizations like Business Week helps. These studies provide empirical evidence of the value to stockholders of a firm's brand-building activities. And their methodologies are usually very similar to the way other corporate assets are valued. That is, on the basis of how much the brand is likely to earn for the company in the future. So brand valuation allows you to make a rational, quantitative argument for the value of brands and brand building. Don't focus on brand valuation as the sole measure of the value which brands create. Although a brand's role in shareholder value creation is impressive, it also creates other financial value, increased sales, market share, price premium, and a brand's value extends beyond numbers to 1. Value for customers by simplifying and facilitating purchase decisions, 2. Value in internal business processes by optimizing product development, supply chain management, and customer relationship management, and the resources that drive each of these processes. And 3. Value in company learning and growth by increasing an organization's ability to change and improve. It's important to remember and measure and manage these outcomes of brand building in addition to shareholder value. Use brand valuation to evaluate M&A and other business strategy decisions. A brand's value is definitely a factor when valuing an acquisition. The folks at Coca-Cola, for example, paid $4.1 billion to acquire Energy Brands, Inc., when the actual business was worth a fraction of that. Why? Because of the vitamin water brand. Coke wanted access to the enhanced water and energy beverage market, and what better way to get in than with a solid brand like vitamin water? While brands don't currently show up as a line item on balance sheets, the intangible value of a brand is certainly an important consideration in corporate planning moves. Don't use brand valuation to evaluate marketing efforts. Certainly, marketing and promotion have a tremendous impact on the strength and therefore the value of a brand. However, there are too many variables that impact brand valuation for a direct correlation to be drawn between it and marketing effectiveness. I'll comment more on these variables in a moment. So the point here is simply that brand valuation is a macro business metric that's useful for assessing corporate value, not ROI on marketing. Instead, marketing efforts should be evaluated by marketing measurements according to how well they fulfilled marketing objectives. For example, if a marketing campaign was launched to introduce a new product, then a consumer research study to measure awareness and trial is an appropriate evaluation. Or if a promotion is engaged to increase retention, then analysis of CRM data would yield an appropriate assessment. Do use brand valuation primarily on a category-specific basis. Steve McKee, author of the book When Growth Stalls and the just-launched Find Your Nerve project, best explains it saying, "While the relative value of non-competing brands is fascinating, for example, IBM is worth more than Toyota, it's not terribly relevant to either company. And while the absolute value of any one brand, especially those with values in the tens of billions of dollars, is stunning, the most significant measure is how one brand stacks up relative to its competitors in any given category. If a brand is losing ground while its competitors are gaining, then it has something to worry about." Finally, don't confuse brand valuation with brand strength. Company size, distribution and penetration, amount of brand building investment, etc., all affect brand value. In fact, Businessweek Interbrand doesn't include airline brands in their rankings because they say, quote, it's too hard to separate their brand's impact on sales from factors such as routes and schedules. While I don't agree with the decision to exclude airlines, the decision to do so seems to indicate that brand value is inherently linked to business size and scope. So a small company may not rate highly in the rankings despite having a strong brand. A better measure of brand power, therefore, is the Brand Asset Valuator or other similar tool. I hope these thoughts are helpful to you. Feedback is always welcome. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care and thanks again.